sugar.
Tuesday morning. Thank you so much for tuning in to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. I'm your host, Tammy Martin, with the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning out. It's 9:06 here in Pensacola, and it is my favorite time of the week. It is the Garden Line with the former mayor, Mike Wiggins, and he has been in landscaping for 40 years, over 40 years. So if you have any questions, you can text or call 437-1620. Good morning, Mike. How are you this morning?
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's always great to have you on.
It is good to be here. Tell me about your Mother's Day. Was it good?
Oh, yeah. It was great. Yeah. Went to brunch, went to the beach.
Yeah, we did. We did sort of all of those, too.
Did you do all those?
Yeah. Took a little boat trip.
The boat. That's nice.
Go have some brunch. But I will say this. This has nothing to do with gardening. But I've been boating in Pensacola, little boats. I don't have a big boat, for years, my whole life. I have never, ever seen that many people out in boats as I did on Mother's
Day.
Even,
it was really
packed. I think it rivaled 4th of July and Memorial Day, all those special boating events. And it was unbelievable. I've never seen so many people with boats. Everybody having a good time.
Yes,
enjoying
absolutely.
Pensacola Beach and the sound and around the, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, the sand island on the intercoastal, right around the sand island. You couldn't squeeze another boat in there if you wanted to. But anyway, it looked like people were really enjoying their Mother's Day. It was a beautiful day, and that's great.
Yes, absolutely. It was a gorgeous day. It was hot.
It was
hot. The sand is already hot, and it's May. I was like, oh, wow, this is going to get rough quick.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Stay in the water. That's what I do.
But I got a problem with that.
Why?
I love it.
You love
yeah, I like that. That's what I want. I like that. It's
we do live
that's
in paradise, and it is absolutely amazing. We get to
hot,
enjoy
the
beach,
the water. Yeah, exactly.
And then we complain it's too hot.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
Oh goodness! So we already had a friend text in. I love it. You're always engaging. Again, if you want to join in the conversation, 437-1620. It says, thank you so much for the advice of my Purple Angel trumpet. It's getting much better.
Great.
So thank you, Mike.
Good. We love to hear these success stories.
Absolutely. It's beautiful. I have pictures, so I'll show you when we go for a break.
Oh, that is great. Thank you. Thanks for sending us that.
And that's from Andrea.
Well, Andrea, thank you very much. Thank you. All right. I got a little something I want to mention. And I need to preface my remarks and my question to you.
Oh, no.
With just a few seconds on pollinators. You know, what is a pollinator?
Uh-huh.
Well, it's anything that helps carry pollen from different parts of the flowers. And the movement of pollen, as we all know, it must occur for the plant to become fertilized and produce fruits or blooms or seeds or younger plants. Anyway, pollinators make the world go around when it comes to horticulture. One of the things they have in the definition of pollinators are, why are they important? One, because they like to eat, or do we like to eat? Do we like to eat because of our food source relies on pollinators? Do we like clean air? Same thing. And do you want a healthy economy? Of course, for farming. So pollinators are very, very important. And there's a reason I brought that up today.
Okay.
And this is where my question to you.
Uh-oh. I'm kind of nervous, actually.
Yeah, you need to be a little shaky. You may be shaky about this.
It's a little early to be questioned, Mike.
All right, here you go. I'm going to ask you to define this term.
Oh, no. Can I Google it?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. I may beat you to the punch.
Okay.
All right, here we go. No mo may.
How do you spell it?
Okay. N-O-M-O-W-M-A-Y. No more may. No mo may.
You don't mow your grass in May. Did I get
you
it right?
You are so smart.
Oh,
look at you. Look
what?
At you. Exactly. Here,
man, I surprise myself every day.
Oh, man. Yeah, you're a little modest about this horticulture. You know more about it than you claim. Good for you.
Oh, I'll kill a plant in a heartbeat.
Well, just to mention this, because I think it's kind of a fun topic. This started in Great Britain, this movement to not mow your yard in May. The movement wants you to let your grass grow, just all the grass and the weeds and everything, to provide food and shelter for those pollinators we just talked about. Mm-hmm. That's why they have this movement. And so you're not supposed to mow your yard in May. Well, there's a great article on this. I think it's the guys from London. Mm-hmm. And he goes through the whole No Mow May movement. And he finally ends up by saying, it's a terrible idea. Just a terrible idea.
Uh-oh.
And I can agree with you. I think it is a terrible idea. I mean, the intention is great to food, shelter for the pollinators, which we all need. Mm-hmm. But in Pensacola, we really want a nice yard.
Right.
I mean, sometimes you're in competition with your neighbors, mm-hmm. To have the perfect yard. Well, if you let your grass grow in Pensacola all during the month of May, you're going to have some real problems. You're going to have the weeds are going to shade out the grass, which is going to cause fungus. Some of the weeds will never disappear. In other words, if you let them grow in the month of May and just get a toehold in your yard, you're never going to get rid of them during the summer. And also, it may encourage people to use chemical, after it's all over, mm-hmm. to use chemical applications when it's really too hot and it's counterproductive. Plus, your homeowners association may come knocking on your door.
Nobody has time for that.
City or county, code enforcement saying, you really shouldn't do it. And finally, the guy here who says it's a terrible idea says rodents, snakes, and other undesirables may come into your yard. Mm. That cinches it for me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna mow my yard. And we all know this. We all know, and this goes for, even if you just go on vacation and don't pay attention to this no-mow-may deal, you should never when you're cutting your yard, never cut off more than one-third of the grass blade. If you do, you're kind of scalping it, and that is really the wrong thing to do. One other comment that I thought was really fun. One of the largest flower shows in the world, mm-hmm. The ones we've been talking about,
right.
in Pensacola and all of that, is in Chelsea over in Great Britain. And a third of the show this year, is going to be gardens with weeds.
Really?
And I think that all goes back to this No Mow May initiative. And so that's what they're saying. It sounds environmentally kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I think for us here in Pensacola, no mow
May. Say that 10 times fast.
It's not going to work. I don't think it's going to work. Anyway, I thought that was kind of fun.
That is fun. Thank you for sharing.
I just had never heard of it. I had a friend of mine tell me about it. I don't know where he heard it. I can assure you he mows his yard more than that.
So we have about a minute and a half till a break, and we have a few questions.
Oh, sure.
So let's get to a couple before we go to break. Is it too late to apply this to my sweet grass that is being taken over by the weeds? Okay, it's the Anderson's Professional PGF 16 fertilizer with humic DG.
I would not put any fertilizer on my yard this time of year with the temperatures the way they are that has any kind of weed control in it. I'm not sure what all that product has in it, but it is the time to go ahead and put your fertilizer on there if you haven't done it. This is a great time to do it. Now, be careful because you start using these weed products when temperatures are in the 90s, mm-hmm. you can burn the grass. You just don't want to do that. Now, a lot of these weeds that we're seeing right now in our yard, we've had these cooler nights and such as that over the last month. I think they're going to go away. I think the heat is going to get them. A lot of them are winter annuals and even winter perennials that just die back in the heat. And the turf is just really warming up. So your grass in some of those areas that may be weed infested, especially, let's say, St. Augustine, is going to get thicker. And a thick turf is still the best weed deterrent that we have.
Okay.
So I think I would really, any kind of weed control, especially in a granular fertilizer, mm-hmm. I would not put on the grass. But if that's a fertilizer, I'd go for it.
All right. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. I'm your host, Tammy Martin, with the Pensacola Expert Panel. We are here with Mike Wiggins with The Garden Line, all things landscaping. He has your answer for sure. If you want to join in the conversation, it's 437-1620. We're going to...
Wow, here it comes. Here comes the night. Here comes the night.
Good Tuesday morning and welcome back to News Radio 92.3. It is informative, local, and dependable. I'm your host, Tammy Martin, with the Pensacola Expert Panel. We have the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins this morning. He's always a pleasure to have. He knows all your landscaping answers. I can promise you that. He's been around a long time. He knows what he's talking about.
Maybe most of them.
Most of them?
Not all.
Come on now. This is rare you don't have an answer for
me.
It is rare. So we are going to get back to some questions. Let's see. Mike, what do you know about Judea? Is it Judea bugs? I've lived in the East Hill since 2008 and have never seen them before. My yard is crawling with them right now, and there's a picture.
I would need to look at the picture.
Okay, we'll look at that.
That's spelled
J-U-D-I-A? It's actually J-U-D-E-A.
I don't know it. I don't know that. Just when you said we knew all the answers, we don't know that one. Let's see.
The magic of an iPhone.
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. I don't know that one. It looks almost spider-like.
Oh, this is a new. Oh, we're kind of concerned.
Look at those long legs on it. It looks almost spider-like. Now, let's do say this. If they're in the lawn, okay, I think we can deal with that particular. I'm going to do a little research on Judea bugs. But for now, if they're in the lawn, you can treat them like you would a chinch bug or a sod webworm. A good granular insecticide is not a bad idea. Put it out on the yard, water it in, and you should be in pretty good shape insofar as insect control in your yard. Generally, we don't have many insects bothering yards this time of year. The only one that can be a problem in the month of May and June, really, is a mole cricket. You know what a mole cricket looks like?
No, sir.
It looks primitive. Uh-oh. They'll get into your swimming pool. They'll get everywhere. And mole crickets, this is when they have a change in generations. And so they are a problem in generally early June.
Okay.
But what they do, they don't eat your grass. What they'll do, they'll burrow underneath it, loosen the roots, and the grass will literally dry out. So if you see an area in your yard that, one, looks like it's drying out, and you know that it shouldn't because you're watering it, could be mole crickets. You can also see their trails. They're hard to kill. They are hard to kill, hard to control. But once again, a good granular insecticide that's labeled for lawns should help you.
Perfect. And we have Joseph from Inslee on the line. Joseph, how are you this morning?
Good, Neil.
I'm doing great. You got a question for Mike?
What do you say? Joseph, how are you?
Hey, Mike. Well, pretty good. And you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Thank you.
We last June, my wife and I went to Chicago to see how her father-in-law was doing. We ended up being there for 7 months.
Wow.
And we came back and everything was dead because of the freeze.
Right, right.
And so I sent you a picture of the our backyard and our front yard. And backyard faces east and front yard faces west. And we lost the lemongrass. And I'd like to put something in there that I don't have to maintain. Something that, something to replace the lemongrass, something that I don't have to trim, cut back every year. Probably same thing with the flax lilies because they don't seem to be coming back very strong. I just want something that, I don't have to maintain. So what can I do?
That's a good question. In Pensacola, it's hard to find something you really don't have to maintain. As you were talking, it came to mind. I thought some muley grass might really be nice in lieu of that lemongrass. But many times you'll have to prune it back one time in the winter, and it generally will come back. But it gives you those beautiful purple plumes. So that is one option. Something else that I really like when you talk about low-maintenance landscape plants is a dwarf yaupon. A dwarf yaupon is a holly. It's an ilex. How about this name, Tammy? Ilex vomitoria.
That's a lovely name.
What a lovely name that is. But it is a great plant. It's a low mounding plant. It'll get big. I've got one that's almost 3 feet. But it is takes so little care. Full blaring sun, you know, little water, mm-hmm. little fertilizer, and it's going to be fine. So I think that is an option. I really do. Also, to
Wolf, what was it?
Dwarf Yaupon. Ilex vomitoria. It's a holly. It's a dwarf holly. Very small leaf. As a matter of fact, there's a new one. I say new one. To me, everything is new. There's a new one out that is called Ilex vomitoria burgundy. Now, the leaves are not red, but you get the new growth comes out looking reddish. Really a very attractive plant. But I think for your purposes, that would be a pretty good one to try. Now, I do want to say one thing, Joseph, about your flax lily. A flax lily, over the years, has been used by so many people. And I saw in the picture the way you used it. You'd used it in a perfect situation in that sunny kind of a planter, if you will. But I have found that I put, quite frankly, too much faith in the flax lily. For a couple of years now, I get into winter, they get knocked back, but they're so slow to come back. I've got one now that's just, I've got it in a container, a big one, and it's just now peeking through. I don't know if it's going to make it all the way or not. So if you really, really want to flax lily, be aware that it's not as low maintenance as advertised. It really is not. I love the look.
What could I do to get rid?
Go ahead.
Yeah, what about irises? Are they a little...
Yeah, irises are good. Irises are good, but they, in the 19-degree weather, they took a hit also. And you would have had to prune them back. I replaced mine. I had a Louisiana iris in a big pot, and a beautiful plant, beautiful orchid-like blooms, a great plant. But the 19 degrees knocked it back, and I just replaced it. I really did. So it's generally low maintenance because we generally don't get down to 19 degrees. And it would go, it would take a freeze, but you get down below 20, you got problems. I love the plant. I think that's a great idea. I really do.
Thank you so much for phoning in right now. We're going to take a quick break. We'll get to more questions. I appreciate it. I hope that answered your question. If not, you can go over to News Radio after the show. I'm going to post the podcast. You can listen again. It is News Radio 92.3. We're informative, local, dependable.
The sun beats down and burns the tar up.
Welcome back. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm your host, Tammy Martin, with the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's a wonderful Tuesday morning. I have Mike Wiggins with the Garden Line. He is a former mayor, and he's worked in landscaping for over 40 years. So if you have your questions, text or call 437-1620.
Gotcha. Tammy, just a quick note to Joseph.
Okay.
After he hung up, there are a couple of plants for someone who really wants a bulletproof plant. Look into the juniper family. You can get low-growing junipers like Blue Pacific juniper or tall-growing junipers like Torolusa, Hollywood Twisters, and all things in between. So look into the junipers. Also, if he's looking for a color contrast, a Nandina. Mm-hmm. Not totally bulletproof, but it is insofar as the cold weather is concerned. Doesn't need a lot of pruning. And there's some dwarf Nandina out there. Some people call it Heavenly Bamboo. Now, that's a better name than Ilex vomitoria, mm-hmm. but Heavenly Bamboo.
Nandina, that is much better.
Yeah, Nandina and the junipers might be two other choices for Joseph as he looks for something that's very low maintenance.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm your host, Tammy Martin, with the Pensacola Expert Panel. We have a news break coming up, but he's going to be on for another 30 minutes, so get your questions in. Also, don't forget, Bands on the Beach is back on tonight.
Yeah.
Thanks to Santa Rosa Island Authority at the Gulf Side Pavilion at 7. Welcome back. You're listening to News Radio 92.3.
Right.
Informative,
music,
local, dependable.
Music,
I did it just
stuff.
For you.
Oh, thank you. Real quick, I've got to make a pitch. When
okay.
you're playing that music, I've got to make
All
a
right.
pitch. For those listening who may be members of that famous class of 1963 mm-hmm. of Pensacola High School, this is our reunion year. Call me if you have not already been contacted. Let me give you the details, because on June 9th, We're all getting together to probably play some of the same music that Tammy's playing today.
Yeah, just for you,
and so,
Mike.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Seriously, if by chance you're listening and have not been contacted and you graduated with us in 1963.
That wasn't that long ago. You're still super young.
Tammy.
Yes, sir.
Think about it. Think about that.
Listen, just accept the compliment, Mike.
I know. Nice try.
I'm trying to be sweet, too.
Well, you are being sweet. It's just not true. We are old. But anyway, it's going to be fun.
And you're wise beyond your years, sir.
I hear you.
He comes over here looking at a picture. He's like, that looks like a magnolia. Yep, it's a magnolia. To me, it just looks like a weed. So again, this is the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. We're the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. If you want to join in the conversation, 437-1620.
The person sent us a nice picture.
Yes.
And
it was David.
David. Okay. David, thank you. And so I walked around and looked on the computer. And sure enough, we now know what it is. It's got about 12 names.
Oh, wow.
You ready?
Yeah.
It's a Sweet Bay Magnolia.
Sweet Bay. I told him day. Okay, I need to change that.
Sweet Bay Magnolia, but it's also known as a Laurel Magnolia, a Swamp Magnolia, a Beaver Tree, an Elk Bark, a Swamp Bay, and a White Laurel.
So does it depend on which state you're in that you call it this, or why does it have 1,000 names?
That's a good question. I would imagine there's some probably some various members of the same class, mm-hmm. same species, if you will, that may be different color blooms.
Okay.
The ones we saw were white. I guess what kind of gave it away this time
saying.
Of year.
Different.
Yeah. And so that's probably what it is. But, you know, some of these things, you know, they've been around so long mm-hmm. and that people probably in different parts of the state or different parts of the region have named them. Just called them different things.
Very cool.
Kind of interesting.
Thank you, David, for texting that. And I wanted to tell Alicia, she was on the phone, but we didn't get to her. So hopefully she'll give us a call back or text us back. I love the Garden Line. It's always fun. I start sweating halfway through.
Yeah, you have to run back and forth. And
he sees me just like running back and forth.
And I appreciate it
so
more
funny.
Than you know. I really do.
Okay, let's see. Hi, good morning.
Hello.
Hi. Do we have on the phone this morning?
Hey, my name is Pat, and I have some Italian cypress that I planted probably 5 years ago.
Yes, sir.
When they were about 6 feet tall, and now they're about 16 feet tall. They're really grown.
That's a beautiful plant.
And well, one of my four, the top of it is turning brown.
Right.
And I'm kind of devastated, and I don't know what to do.
Well, here's what I would do. Sometimes when those Italian cypress and even some of the juniper family that we have, we get those brown areas. And Tammy, I think we went through this little procedure a couple of weeks ago,
uh-huh.
Whereas on those type of plants, you can get what we call spider mites.
Oh, that's right.
Remember
you told me to get a piece of paper out.
The red spider mites, exactly.
Yeah.
Get a piece of printer paper,
mm-hmm.
pure white printer paper, cut off one of the limbs, not a big piece, just maybe about, you know, 6 to 8 inches, and just beat it on that piece of paper. And you'll get some foliage fall off. But if you see the little bugs just scurrying around, those are spider mites. It's very difficult, quite honestly, for a plant like that to recover that particular part of the plant that's already brown, in other words, to make it turn back green again. And I hear you. You've got four of them. I bet they're all kind of lined up, and to have one of them have a problem in the top is not pleasant. I know that's not good. I would do this.
Exactly.
There are new products out there on to control spider mites. I would call the Escambia County Extension Service. Tell them what's going on. Tell them that you talk to me and you're looking for some chemical, new chemical, to control spider mites. And that's about the best thing I can do. Now, it sounds like if you've got it, how tall is it? 12 feet? 16 feet? What was it?
Yeah, at least 12 to 15 feet. Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, if you're spraying a plant, to control anything, be it, you know, worms or spider mites or whatever, be careful. You know, I'll be honest with you, at my age, I don't do ladders anymore, but be very, very careful, especially, and if you're trying to spray the top of that tree, this is common sense, I know, but if you're spraying the top of the tree, many times that spray will come down on you,
mm-hmm.
and that is dangerous. You don't want right. that to happen. So you may need to talk to some of your professional tree surgeons around and see what they recommend for that. But I'm gonna say without seeing it that you may have a spider mite problem, and you're just going to have to do some research to find the right product to spray it, and then figure out how you're going to spray it to protect yourself. So that would be my best take on all of that.
Thank you so much for calling in your question. You have a great rest of the day.
Thank you.
We've had some great questions this morning.
We have.
My goodness. Everyone's
texting
and calling.
We appreciate it, too. We really appreciate
it. We do. It's a great time, and you're so knowledgeable about all things landscaping.
No,
so
no,
it's
no.
always wonderful to have you on. You're listening to Pensacola Expert Panel with Tammy Martin and Mike Wiggins with The Garden Line. If you want to join in, you can call, text. Text us pictures, questions, 437-1620. We enjoy them all, right?
Yes, we do.
So tell me some topics you want to talk about today. I see your paper over there. He's got
a
whole
pack. Well, I do have a paper. It's we've had the same piece of paper now for about a month.
We haven't gotten through it yet?
Well, I was going to say, we talked about what are some good plants, basic plants to plant that will give you blooms generally all summer long.
Okay.
There's a lot of them out there, and you'll never get them all. We've talked about marigolds and salvia and periwinkle mm-hmm. and the impatiens, which is such an interesting plant because you've got what I call the old-fashioned impatiens, which are still, in my opinion, the best shade annual. It blooms all summer long. Now you've got the new sunpatiens that you plant in the full sun that has these vibrant red and orange blooms. Those are absolutely great. Then we talked about coleus. Same deal. You've got the coleus that grow best in the shade. Then you've got your sun coleus. And I told you, I don't know if I told you, Tammy, but my favorite sun coleus is the one that is generally garnet and gold.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a Seminole fan, that's the plant for you. Are you? Yeah,
yeah.
You need to get a Suncolia.
Suncolia.
And it'll have, okay. It grows two colors. It's garnet and gold. It's just
very cool.
Oh, yeah. So you got to have one of those if you're a Seminole fan.
But I'm also a Razorback fan. So what other flowers can I get?
Are you a Razorback fan? The Hogs?
Born and raised.
Really? that's a great, great school.
I had a
friend that had his son who was the field goal kicker.
Really?
Arkansas.
That's
yeah.
cool.
Oh, yeah, that is cool. I like watching them. Okay, here are a few more plants that I really like. Dianthus. Now, dianthus, a lot of us plant dianthus in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
But I have found by planting it that it will last during the summer also. It'll put up with the heat. Another name for dianthus is Pinx. And it's called Pinx not because it has pink blooms, but over the years, people have pruned it with pinking shears.
Interesting.
That is it. I don't know who came up with that, but that's exactly the way it is. Here's another one I really like, especially, let's go back to Joseph. Remember Joseph was mm-hmm. Trying to find something that was relatively
yes.
no maintenance?
Yes.
Portulaca.
I like that name. That's
like
way
that
better
too.
Than the last one
we
talked about.
Well, it has another name, too. It's called Moss Rose.
Oh,
kind of
that
a
sounds
succulent
nice.
Type plant. Loves the sun, multicolors of small little blooms. Mm-hmm. It's a low-growing kind of a crawling plant. But I really think moss rose, portulaca, if you will, is a great plant for the summer that's going to give you color all summer long.
Fabulous. You're listening to News Radio 92.3. I'm your host, Tammy Martin, with the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm here with Mike Wiggins with The Garden Line. You can join in the conversation at 437-1620. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get right back to your questions. Welcome back. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm your host, Tammy Martin, with the Pensacola Expert Panel. We have Mike Wiggins with The Garden Line. And it's
It's busy this morning, isn't it, Mike?
It is busy.
We're having a great time.
We like it busy.
We are having a great time here this morning. So if you want to join in the conversation, 437-1620. I have Bertha on the phone from Milton. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I'm kind of new to the area, and I have a question about fig trees. The fig tree last year grew beautifully, looked wonderful, and now it is dead with sprigs coming up from the ground. Is that normal for this area?
No. No, it really isn't. Your fig tree really should have put up with that 19-degree cold. Now, did you say you're from Milton? Well, yeah, kind of the northern part. Kind of the northern part of Santa Rosa County, or further north than City of Pensacola. You could have some damage, but let me just say a couple things. Did you plant that fig tree, or was it there when you moved to Pensacola or moved to Milton?
I planted it about 3 years ago, more or less.
Oh, okay. Okay. And it did good. It has done good until this season, right?
Correct.
Yeah. I'm gonna kind of blame it on the cold. But let me say this, and Tammy, you may remember I made this comment a couple of shows ago. One thing that will get to a fig tree every time is weed and feed fertilizer. A lot of people that have fig trees and have had trouble with fig trees is when they fertilize their yard with a weed and feed fertilizer, which we do not recommend, and you got it under the drip line, under the branches of a fig tree. It will do a fig tree in so fast. So I don't know if you did that, but that could be a cause. The other thing is the cold weather, the 19 degrees. You know, it could have, wherever the exposure is, that possibly could be it. One bit of advice, if you just give up on it and you plant another one, be sure to plant a brown turkey fig. That's the one you want for our area, a brown turkey fig. Be sure to ask your local nurseryman about that. Now, that growth coming up from the bottom, I really wouldn't put a lot of faith in that. I think if the rest of the plant is dead or looks dead, give it the old scratch test. Scratch the limb. If there's any green, give it a little bit more time. If there's no green, it may be time to go shopping for that brown turkey fig.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it, and we hope you have a wonderful Tuesday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We also have a question from a friend text in. My fiance bought a very large amount of clearance bulbs recently. If this was your situation and you suddenly found yourself owning a very large amount of clearance bulbs, how would you handle that? How would you store them? Would you plant them? I don't know what to do with all these bulbs. That would be me. I hear you. Totally. That is me.
That is
like,
a great question.
What am I supposed to do with this?
Say, honey, thank you so much for these bulbs. It depends on what they are. If they're caladium bulbs, you're in business. You can plant them right now. They will come up.
It says clearance bulbs. I don't know.
I think probably they were, I interpret that as being she went to the nursery or the big
box. Oh, okay.
And they were on sale.
Oh, okay. I just thought maybe there was something.
That's a Latin name.
You never know these days with these names.
Exactly. No, that's the way I interpret it.
They were on sale.
Yeah. Okay. If he bought you daffodils and tulips and that type of thing, mm-hmm. those should be planted in the fall.
Okay.
You might be able, if you keep them where they in the dark, maybe put them just in a box in the dark somewhere, they might be okay to carry forward to next, say, October, November.
Okay.
But you're going to have to take care of them.
Absolutely.
But if it's caladium bulbs, go for it. If it's amaryllis bulbs, mm-hmm. put them in the ground right now. They'll be great. They may not bloom till next year, but they could easily do great. If you have, of course, some daylilies that are mixed up in that, plant them right now, full sun. But some of those bulbs that are on clearance may have been what we call fall bulbs. Now, fall bulbs, of course, is sort of a misnomer in that fall bulbs you buy in the fall, you plant them in the fall, but they bloom in the spring. Like if you've got tulips in there, tulips, we all want tulips to bloom, but they just don't do here.
Right.
They want to live in Chicago. They don't want to live in Pensacola. So if you have tulips, I wouldn't put a lot of faith in them. But, you know, hold them over till late fall and then give them a shot.
Perfect.
But,
Sounds great.
Like I said, caladiums and daylilies, if that's mixed up, amaryllis, plant them now.
Perfect. We're going to take a quick break here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. If you have any questions, you can join in the conversation, 437-1620. I know we have Mark on the phone. We're going to take a quick break and get to him with his question right at... Welcome back. You're listening to News Radio 92.3. This is the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. It has been a busy morning, hasn't
it?
Man.
You have run all over this studio.
I'm trying to keep up with you because you're awesome.
I haven't moved from this chair.
He hasn't.
You've had to do all the running around.
Hey, Mark, thanks so much for hanging out with us and holding on after the break. How can we help you today?
Thank you for taking my call. I've got a problem with dollar weed. It's like taking over my lawn. I've been in the same place since 98, and this is the first year that I've seen anything like this. I don't know what to do. Well, I don't want to throw money at anything. I haven't really done anything so far.
Right, I hear you, and I wish we had more time to go into that. Let me kind of give you the Cliff Notes version of what to do. One I would not do is spray with weed killer. When we're into the 90s during the day, it's too hot. It's like putting a blowtorch to your yard. At this point in time, I know, you're going to have to treat it culturally. You're going to have to be sure you fertilize it, be sure you mow it high. St. Augustine, at least 4 inches. And after about 3 or 4 days, you need it again. But that's really going to do it. Water, of course, at least 3 times a week if you don't get a lot of rain. Maybe a little bit of lime on it in order to get that pH right. If you do all of those things and get that lush turf, your dollar weed is going to be much less of a problem. Now, I agree, it is a bad problem, but I think at this point of the year, working on getting that grass as lush as you can is going to be your best weed control. Now, in the fall, get a little cooler, we can use some Trimex, some of the post-emergence sprays, which are great for dollar weed, great for broadleaf weeds. But for now, I'm really worried about using it in the heat. So do everything else right, then we'll wait for fall and we'll spray then.
Thank you so much, Mark, for holding on for
Sounds
us.
Good.
Hope that answered
Thanks,
your
Mark.
Question. Well, it was a busy day.
It was a busy day.
And it went by super
Great
fast.
Calls. We really appreciate it.
And if we
audience.
Didn't get to you, we will get to you next Tuesday morning. Every Tuesday morning, he's here with me for an hour, and that's always fun. We had a friend text in, my banana leaves are pale. What do they need? So we'll kind of answer that off the air because we got to get to the news break. Coming up,